do something.
You need to move the mouse right across Stephen onto the screen, and it should appear. That's it.
And last time we started talking about our connections to each other, and we said that we were better together. You know, that God's brought us into his family and we're better together. And today I just want to look a little bit more about how we join together as the body of Christ. And so I've called this sermon, Knitted Together. Okay? Now, I don't knit at all. I've never learnt to knit. Pat, I know, is a very, very good knitter, and many of you may be able to knit. But I do love things that are knitted. You know, it's fascinating to me how this ball of wool, you know, that just seems like wisps of wool, you know, becomes a cardigan or a jumper. I think I've got a picture of a ball of wool and you know, something knitted together. And, you know, I just find it fascinating how, you know, you click with those needles and suddenly, you know, you go from strands to this strong jumper or cardigan or something, you know. I just find it amazing. And one of my very favourite places to visit is a shop called Outhwaite's up in Hawes in North Yorkshire. And they make ropes. You've heard me talk about it before, I'm sure. Rope is a bit similar to knitting, you know. You've got various strands of fibre, cotton or hemp or jute fibres, if you're doing natural ropes, or if you're doing artificial ones, synthetic ones, you get something like polypropylene or polyester, and you join those strands together in such a way as to create something that's tough, you know, tough and virtually unbreakable. And I think that's really quite a fascinating way of looking at the church, because Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 2, that we're knitted together in love. And in two passages in particular, one in Ephesians 4 and this passage in Colossians 2, he talks about being knitted together or joined together. It's interesting because Sue at the start was saying about, you know, how different versions use different words. And that's true. You know, it's the same root word, but we translate it differently in English. And some versions translate it knitted together and some say joined together. And that really describes the unity and the strength of the church. You know, we really are better together, and that happens as God knits us together. And there's a passage in the Old Testament as well that talks about the idea of a rope. You're probably quite familiar with it. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and it's a passage that we often talk about when people get married. So Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 to 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labour. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily or quickly broken. And that's a very simple idea, that fellowship and togetherness and community are all, you know, God's idea, and they're all essential to a life that's good. Two are better than one. That reminds us of what God said, you know, when he made Adam. It is not good for the man to be alone. And there's a sense that, you know, two or more people can achieve what one can't on their own. They've got a good return for their labour, it says. If one falls down, the other person can help them up. I got off the bus on Friday to go swimming, and it was still quite dark in the morning, and there was a highlighter pen on the pavement that I didn't see, and I slipped on it and fell. And there was a young man that had just got off the bus after me, and he helped me to get up. I felt really stupid, you know, being sprawled on the floor just because of this thing that I hadn't seen. But, you know, if you fall, there's somebody to help you up. I was very grateful. I'm very embarrassed as well. He says, two can keep each other warm. You can't do that on your own. You know, one person on their own might be overpowered, but two can defend themselves. So in that passage, we see the benefit of relationships and togetherness. And at the end, you know, it reminds us that a cord of three strands is not quickly broken, with God as that third strand binding us together. But, you know, if we're going to understand about ropes and cords and knitted together, we have to think about, you know, how do you make a rope? You know, what is it about knitting or joining things together that makes something stronger than it would be without that method of joining? Well, the simplest way of making a rope is to take these strands and make it into one length. The individual strands have got to be joined together to make, you know, a new object, a rope. The rope is made up of those individual fibres, but they're joined together to create something new. And there's a little video here from Uthwaite's, the shop in Hawes, where there's this 100 feet rope walk in the shop, and you can watch the rope makers literally walk up and down, put the strands on the machine. You should be able to click as a video at some point on here, Stephen. It worked at home is all I can say. I don't know if Gary
Stephen,
can...
You might have to bring the mouse across onto the screen. Click, then we should get a...
Yeah. I don't know, maybe you could do something with it, Gary. It did work, but it did seem a bit strange. Basically, he walks up and down, and you tie all the rope, the fibres, and the machine... As he's walking up and down, it's knitting them together. It's binding them together. There's tension on it. You can just about see there that as he walks, those individual strands come together to make the rope. And when we've got knitted items or we've got a rope, you've got something that's made up from those individual strands, wool, yarn, or, you know, if you're thinking about scarves and cardigans and all those, or you're thinking about the polypropylene or the hemp, if you're thinking about a rope, something that looks much stronger and it's different from what it was made up of. You know, the individual wool strands don't look the same as the finished item. Doesn't matter, Stephen, it's fine. And I think in the same way, God wants to join people together into his body. And it looks very different from all the individual components. And he's called the body his church. We're all being knitted together or united to form this whole. And in Ephesians 4, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In the NIV, that phrase joined and held together is the same as this idea of knitting together. And it's held together by a supporting ligament. Now, I don't know very much about ligaments, but apparently a ligament is connective tissue that connects bone to other bone. A tendon connects bone to muscle, apparently. So there is a difference between tendons and ligaments. And when you think about it, it's obvious. You know, if we just were a pile of bones, well, because of gravity, it'd all fall on the floor, wouldn't it? You need something to join the bones together. And it's the ligaments and the tendons that, you know, keep us upright. But you take that for granted, don't you, most of the time? You just don't really think about it. It's only if you injure a ligament or a tendon or you break a bone that suddenly you realise you can't function in the way that you normally do. And whether Paul's talking about a body or we're thinking about a rope or a knitted item, what we see is that something strong and good is made from individual parts, which might not seem particularly impressive in themselves. You know, a bone on its own doesn't look very much. A ligament doesn't look particularly exciting. But when you put them all together, your body can move in amazing ways. And really, that's the same as it is with the church. Paul says, each of us has one body with many members. These members don't all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We're all different, but God joins us together into this organism called the church. The Message version of Colossians 2 verse 2 says we've been woven into a tapestry. Another translation says we're welded together in love. The New Living Translation says, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who've never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Believers are joined together by God. We've got different functions, just as ligaments have a different function to tendons and to bones, but we're joined together by God. So I think that means practically for us that God wants these strong horizontal connections between people who love him. God's put us together in families and in the church family so that we can be united and strengthened in ways that can't happen if we all pursue individual lives. When God puts us together, we're joined with bonds that aren't meant to be quickly broken. We are like that cord of three strands that we read about in Ecclesiastes 4. And we can certainly apply that to Christian marriage, for Jesus said when he was talking about God's plan for marriage, what God has joined together, knit together, that same word, let no one separate. And that's why, you know, when a couple marry, they become one flesh, they become that new unit. It's also why divorce is so very painful, because you're tearing apart something that God has joined together. And that cord of three strands has got, you know, a new strength. And in the same way, God's joined us together. People from different backgrounds, from different temperaments, with different ideas, to make the church. And he doesn't want the church to be split up. Paul reminds the Colossians that they're knitted together in love. They're linked through God's Spirit. He's that third cord that brings us together, that knits us together, that joins us together. But, you know, for many of us, that feels good in theory, but it's hard to kind of translate into practice. You know, we might see each other for just a couple of hours on a Sunday. That's the extent of our connection. We don't really know each other. And so we might only have a very vague connection to each other. We can carry on our everyday lives with very little thought for each other or connection. And, you know, we might feel lonely at times because we know we were created for more than that, but we're not sure how to, you know, what to do about it. And maybe we're scared of deeper connections because we've been hurt and we think, well, you know, when we love people deeply, we do have the capacity to be hurt by them. But God wants us to be knitted together in love, to be bound together so much that we have a new identity. And I think we see something of what it can look like when we read about Jonathan and David in the Old Testament. They were soul friends. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Or after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David and he loved him as himself. So there's that knitting together. You might have thought that these two people would be enemies because David, after all, was chosen to be king rather than Jonathan. You know, you'd have thought perhaps Jonathan would have been envious of David, but that wasn't the case. They became soul friends. They were devoted to each other. They looked out for each other. They protected each other. They wouldn't listen to those who tried to run the other person down. They cared about each other, even if they didn't always see each other very much. There wasn't anything sexual about the friendship because they were both married, they had children, but there was a joining together of their spirits, and that survived hostility, separation. It survived, you know, Saul's persecution of David. And I believe that that's a picture of the kind of relationships and connections that God wants us to know an experience in the church. He doesn't want the church to be a place of competition and hostility where we're afraid of each other or intimidated by each other. He wants us to have connections where we're knitted together so that we love each other as we love ourselves. You know, isn't that what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." He said, you know, greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friend. And he's talking about something that's far more than just, you know, seeing somebody once on a Sunday and saying hello and goodbye. You know, he's really talking about a love that is so great that you'd be prepared to die for somebody else. And John, the disciple who Jesus loved, wrote a lot about love in his letters. In 1 John 2, verses 9 to 10, he says, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble." Later on, in 1 John 3, he says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." You know, he knew that we can't just love God in theory. We can't just exist with that vertical connection. We need the horizontal connections too. He said, you know, that this is his command, to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, his son, and to love one another as he commanded us. You know, Jesus said, didn't he, that the two greatest commandments were to love God and to love others. And John proves he's thoroughly absorbed that. He says we need to believe in the name of his son Jesus, but we also need to love one another. And he knows that that's hard, because basically, if you read 1 John, it's all he's talking about, loving each other, how we prove our love for God by loving each other. So again, in 1 John 4, verse 7, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." So, you know, that's another example. Just a few verses later, 1 John 4, 11 to 12. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." And then same chapter, verses 20 to 21, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen can't love God whom they've not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister." You know, if you read those few verses in 1 John 4, it doesn't get much plainer than that, does it? But so often, this is the most difficult part of the gospel for us. You know, how can we love each other when we're so different? How can we love each other when we're so distant? How can we love each other to the point of laying down our lives for each other, you know, when so often we get upset and, you know, torn apart over things that are so trivial and unimportant? When I was, preparing this sermon and thinking about knitting and ropes, because I don't know very much about either of them, I thought I'd better read up about it. And apparently when you make ropes, the fibres have got to be processed first of all. If you're making it from natural fibres, the fibres have got to be coated with natural oil. They've got to be cleaned and spread and combed to create those continuous ribbons of fibre known as slivers. And then they're twisted into the yarn, and it's that that's wrapped onto those spools and bobbins and the machines to make the rope. So there's actually a preparation process that goes on before the fibres are ready to be twisted together to form a rope. And I think, you know, that God's Holy Spirit is the one we need to provide that natural oil, that anointing that binds us together in love. He's the one involved in that preparation process and in the joining together process. You know, without him, we couldn't be joined together. We couldn't be knit together in love. But with him, anything's possible. The church isn't a social club. It's not an organisation, it's not an institution that's made by people, for people, run by people. Definitely not. The church is God's idea. He's the head of the church. He's the one who draws us into his family and joins us together into his body, so that the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that's from God. You might feel a bit despairing, you know, about the connections that you have with other people. You might long in your heart for a deeper connection, not only with God, but with people. You might feel, you know, I really want that kind of soul friendship that Jonathan had with David. But if you yearn to love others and God more deeply, I think we can be encouraged, because that's in God's heart too. Connection is at the very heart of the Godhead, Father, Son and Spirit. And that connection is at the very heart of life. So what can we do to develop and deepen these horizontal connections? You know, I can't give a sort of an ABC on friendship, because we're all different. I don't believe that, you know, there's such a thing as an ABC to do these things. But as we ponder what it means to be knitted together, I think we've got to be prepared to spend time with each other, to get to know each other, to share our lives over meals, to understand each other better than we do. And it's not easy to do that, because we're all busy. But somehow, if you want to make deeper connections, you've got to connect with people. You know, we weren't made to be ships that pass in the night. We weren't created for shallow, superficial relationships. We were created to love and to be loved. And if we're not growing in love and in service, then there's something wrong. Paul wanted those Colossians to be encouraged in heart and united in love. And that's what God wants for us too. And we've got to make the effort. It's like when two people are starting to go out together, you know, and they're thinking about marriage. They've got to spend time with each other and get to know each other before they decide that they do want to spend their lives together. And getting to know each other can be really hard, you know, especially when you find out the bits that you don't like about somebody. You know, the parts where we see temper and immaturity and selfishness and pride. But God's Holy Spirit comes alongside us then and coats us with his oil, showing us how to forgive, how to apologise, how to put someone else's needs before our own. In Philippians 2, we read what Paul says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. And that's what love looks like in practice, Paul says. When we're knitted together, there's unity. You know, you can't easily unravel a good rope. You can't easily unravel a cardigan. You can't easily remove a ligament from a bone. There's togetherness, there's strength in those things. So I think, you know, we are better together. That's God's conclusion. That's why he's made the church. It's not good for us to be alone. We're meant to be joined together by God in a local expression of love and unity. We need to be connected to people here in our locality. And we need to be knitted together, joined by God, because then we're his hands and his feet in the world. We're created to demonstrate what love looks like. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, our horizontal connections are God's chief way of reaching those who don't know him. And that's a remarkable thing, you know, that God has chosen to show his love through us to people who don't know him. Peter says, love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, none of us is perfect. And so there's a lot of sins to be covered. But love is what others need to see and what we all need to receive and to give. Unconditional, unfailing, never-ending love. Not endless criticism, not petty arguing, not stubbornness and unforgiveness, but a love that points to God, who is love himself. When we love each other, everyone will know that we're Jesus' disciples, and they then will be drawn to a love that is ultimately what we all need. Let's be better together and knitted together in love.